Thank you for directing your internet connection to this sermon audio page for Christ Orthodox Presbyterian Church. Learn more about Christ OPC by visiting our webpage at www.christopcatl.org. Currently, Christ OPC is meeting on campus each Sunday at 11 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. for worship using social distancing protocols and assigned seating. Sunday school is offered to children and adults at 9:30 a.m., concluding at 10:30 a.m. for a brief time of fellowship before the 11 o'clock worship. A volunteer-staffed nursery is available for Sunday school and the 11 a.m. worship. Nursery volunteers and children receive temperature checks prior to admittance. Please contact the church through its website for additional information and directions.
Well, I am very grateful to be here again tonight with you all, and I'm going to read the scripture and then pray before the sermon. But I want to ask you to give your attention to the Epistle of Colossians, chapter 4, verses 2 through 4. And this is God's word that is given to us. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. Let's give thanks for this and ask for his blessing on the sermon. Father, we are grateful that this word is given to us. We praise you for preserving this, for its wisdom, its power, its might, its ability to teach us and to call us to salvation, to sanctify us. We are grateful that the Spirit comes and makes it clear to us. And we ask you now, Lord, that we would hear well, that for distractions that may be upon us to be removed, but for the things that are upon our hearts, that we would have them answered and seen a hope in and through Jesus Christ in this time. Thank you for this church and this congregation that is faithful to you and has been faithful to you for many years, and for their friendship and welcoming of us. We ask for your blessing upon them and for all of us on this Lord's Day. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Epistle of Colossians is become, in time, one of my very favorites because of its content and because I find that it's very relevant and for our day and for many things that are happened within the church, and because of it's always pressing back to the person and work of Jesus and dependence upon him for all things. And the Apostle Paul gives, as you know, a great teachings here about the Christ being the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. And he is writing to those who were often in their midst, were confused or being tempted to believe that Jesus may have been the way of salvation or even the beginning of salvation, but that there were other means and ways by which one could be sanctified, other means and ways by which someone could find a way to mature. And often that was thought to be angels who would intercede for you, that Jesus being the chief angel of God, and that he would help you to come into an inner spiritual life to show you new things, and you needed these teachers to help you understand what those things might be. And that's oftentimes why I find this epistle so helpful, because it gives direction on what we are to believe rightly and how we should respond to things like that that would tempt us to turn away from Christ and the centerpiece of who Christ is, and how we should live in light of that. And Paul, it sometimes is, you would want to say, negative, and that you should avoid these things and don't go this route. But then he's positive also in saying, and here's how we should live. And he brings home in the end of chapter 3 this all the way to husbands and wives and to children, to the household code. And after that, he begins to wrap up his epistle. And upon everything he has said, the first instruction he gives to this congregation is that they should pray. And of all the things that there are wives to submit to husbands, husbands are to love wives, children to parents, that we are to walk and be faithful in Christ, and we are to not to be taken captive, yet we are to press forward. We are to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. And so what should we do to conclude? We should pray. And so it's very fitting that that would be at the end here because of what all he has said. So with that, we want to look at prayer at the end of Colossians. And so the outline is like this for our sermon. What is prayer? How to pray? The relationship of prayer to the Word of God. And that close with some application. So the first point, what is prayer? The Westminster Larger Catechism says that prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God in the name of Christ by the help of His Spirit with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of His mercies. So that is what prayer is according to the Larger Catechism. And it's saying that God is the creator of us all. He's the creator of all of us. He's the creator of each person, the creator of all things. And as creator, He has made His creatures dependent upon Him. We need God to continue on. We are not independent of God. We are dependent upon Him. And because we are dependent upon God, that would tell us that we need to pray. Because prayer is offering up our desires and asking for help. And as creatures, we should pray because we are dependent upon God. He has not made us and said, now you may go. You have everything you need. You don't need to ask me for anything. You're sufficient. Go forward. That's not how God made us. We are to pray and we are dependent upon Him. And thus we should see that we are expected to pray. But that is not the last question, the last thing we should say about prayer in that regard. Something we may assume, but we need to ask when it comes to prayer, is this question. Will God respond to us? If we're to ask God for our needs, will God respond? Well, the answer is not as clear as we might think. You see, sin separates us from God. It leaves us alienated. It leaves us as orphans in a sense. And because of our sin and its rebellion and the nature of what it is against God, we have and are left with no reason to think and to believe that God will hear us. Sin has left us in that place that we actually don't have a reason because of our rebellion against God as human beings to think that He will hear. We of our own strength and our own ability cannot fulfill Psalm 24. We cannot ascend the hill of the Lord. We cannot stand in His holy place. We need a mediator to stand in our place, to stand on our behalf. And this is who Christ Jesus is for us. By His perfect life lived on our behalf, by His sin, for our sins, He suffered and died on the cross. He was resurrected for the justification of us all. His righteousness is credited to us. He has suffered in our place for our sins and has granted us access to the Father. He has brought us in that we are adopted as God's children. And it is for that and because of Him that we can pray, that we can know God, that we can pray to the Father, the Son, and the Spirit because of what Jesus has done. He in His righteousness has ascended to the hill of the Lord and may stand in His holy place, and in and through Him alone, we can too. And so we need know we should pray, but that God will hear us and hear our prayers because we pray in Jesus' name. We pray with confidence that God will hear us because Jesus intercedes for us. And so when we understand what prayer is and its place into our place there because of Jesus Christ, we can come to prayer and know this. It is not to be a burden. It's actually easy to come to prayer and to hear the gospel clearly and yet think of prayer almost as a work. It would be very easy to take text upon prayer as a minister and honestly to use it to make you feel guilty that you don't pray enough. That's actually really easy to do. It would be. But that's not how the Scripture would have us to come to prayer. We should not come to prayer thinking and feeling that it is a burden or only come to it feeling guilty that we need to perform better in it. Scripture would have us to see prayer and would present prayer to us almost as an appeal and say, now do this. This is what we are to do. We should see prayer as a wonderful gift to us and we should see it with an invitation to come and participate. That is actually appealing in calling us to want to pray when we know what it is. So then point number two, how are we to pray? Well, let's hear these verses again. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. And so this is not the summary of all our prayers, but this is a prayer that comes out of what he has written in the Epistle of Colossians. So first, how are we to pray according to this text? We're to continue steadfastly in prayer. To be persistent is the idea here, to be busy in prayer, to continue, to keep doing what you're doing, to not just have it here and there, but to stay regular and persistent in our prayers. And it's not something we can be casually devoted to. You know, it's very hard to be devoted to something and yet be casual in it. Think of those gathered in the upper room after Jesus had ascended and before Pentecost. All these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer. And that's the word here. We're to be devoted to prayer. Number two, we should be watchful in prayer. Watchful meaning to be vigilant and attentive. This is the same thing that word that Jesus said to his disciples. Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he's saying, using that word there, we know that account of when he was praying in the garden before he was arrested and crucified. The Apostle Paul would use that and says, be watchful, to continue steadfastly in it and be watchful in prayer. Why would he say that? Well, it's easy to be tired and to be distracted in prayer. And it's oftentimes and can be very tempting to just not be interested in prayer or to have reasons why we don't feel interested in our prayers. And so we are to continue in it, to be devoted to it, but we're also to be watchful. Prayer requires us to be alert and to be awake because of what is happening in prayer. It is good for us to remember what we are doing in prayer. You are speaking, or when we pray together, we are speaking to God Almighty. You are speaking to God Almighty through the work of Jesus Christ. You are speaking to God Almighty with the help of the Holy Spirit. And that alone is enough to remind us to say, be watchful in prayer. But more, consider what we are praying for. There are emotional needs that we are praying for. We have our own emotional needs. We are praying for the emotional needs of others, for the spiritual maturity of other people, for our own spiritual maturity. We are praying for the physical needs of people that are hurting physically or who need help, whose physical situation may cause them pain and cause them to lose hope and to be and just frustrated and almost beyond despair at times with sickness. There are spiritual matters such as spiritual warfare that exist, and we are taking that to God Almighty, asking for his help. Those who are tempted by sin, those who are weak in sin, those who are in the thralls of sin who need to be relieved. We are praying for the work of the gospel to go forward. We are praying for the protection and the building up of the church. We are praying for souls that they would be converted and brought to faith in and through Jesus Christ. And so when we know what is happening, who we are speaking to, and the things that we pray for, well, of course, the Apostle Paul then would say to continue steadfastly in this and to be watchful in prayer. He also says to be thankful in all of this with thanksgiving. Paul's common way to begin his epistles is to begin with thanks and praise. And this is right for us to follow the pattern, because we have many reasons to give thanks. Something, if you ever to consider how to give thanks and where the Apostle Paul would command thanks, would be to maybe start at maybe the Epistle of Colossians or whatever you might be reading, and then go through and see all of the things that is said of God all of the things that are said of Christ there that you can be thankful for. And to give thanks for those things that are true of us in Jesus. We can give thanks that the word of Christ would dwell in us richly. We should give thanks that we are God's chosen ones, that we are called holy and beloved. And you could continue on and on for this. Give thanks to God that He has sent Jesus to us. Oh, we could go on and on and on. Prayer and gratitude walk hand in hand. We have things that we can be thankful for in this big picture, and yet in our very own lives, individual ways in which God's kindness has come to you, which you've known God's mercy, in which you've had your own sins forgiven, where God has sanctified you, where God has relieved you of burdens and hurts, and has saved you from situations where you could have absolutely destroyed your own life, or your things that you didn't even know could have happened and God prevented you from that. We should be thankful in our prayers because of what God has done for us and how He continues to keep us and sustain us. So that's how we pray. But what does the Apostle Paul tell us to pray for? Praying for what? Well, through Colossians, there is a call, and the call is to make and to see that Christ and His Word is the center of the life of the church, that He is the head, we are His body. And we are to be geared and bent towards Him. And so we should pray towards this as well. And the Apostle Paul makes a specific connection between prayer and the preaching of the Word. And that's the next point, that connection that exists between preaching and the Word of God and prayer. Listen to verses 3 and 4. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the Word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. He prays to pray for us that God may open to us a door for the Word. This is interesting because the Apostle Paul is in prison, and yet he does not ask to be released from prison. He doesn't ask for that. That's not his prayer here. He does tell them at the end of the epistle to remember my chains. But his prayer here, as he comes to that, is not when he asks for prayer for himself, is pray that I'll be released. It's pray that God would open to us a door. Don't pray that I'd be released. Pray that the gospel, through my imprisonment, would be proclaimed. To understand this better, remember, if you do recall, back in Philippians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul's words there regarding his imprisonment. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. So what he is saying is, and we understand with Philippians being brought in, is that while he was in prison, God opened a door for the Apostle Paul in the preaching of the gospel. And he did so amongst the guards that were there. The guards wanted to know why he was in prison, what he had done, what he had said. And so he was put in jail and in chains, and yet he is saying God has used that. That the prison guards and throughout the imperial guard, they are hearing of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that has happened in God's providence and way of orchestrating things because I'm in prison. That's how the message has come to them. And so he says, pray that God would open to us a door for the word. And that's the center of it. The door to be opened, he wants is for the word of God to go forward. He also prayed and mentions that another door is open, that the brothers on the outside, this is back in Philippians, were emboldened. So God had sent him to prison. He's in prison. God opens up the door for preaching there amongst the guards. And what that does is that it opens up doors amongst the members who are now emboldened to go forth and to preach and to proclaim the gospel themselves. See, preaching needs prayer. Because preaching has effects that go beyond merely the pastor. The word of God goes forth and bears fruit in its preaching. And so preaching needs prayer. And he says more, that we may declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison. So the question here is, what is the mystery? Right? Is this a mystery that Christ himself holds? And that's not what he is saying. This is not the mystery held by Christ, but he is saying that Christ is the mystery that is held. It is Christ who is the mystery, the one who is revealed and made known, the open secret in a sense. He is the core of the message that we proclaim is Jesus Christ. He is what we are proclaiming. We want an opportunity and an open door for the word to go forth. And it is Jesus Christ who is the one that will be proclaimed. He is the mystery that all need to know. That is the need and the mystery and the message that is to be delivered to the world and even to the church as well. Colossians has made clear that this mystery of Christ is what they need. They don't need mysteries of angels and secret insights. They don't need other things to be brought forth, mysteries that only these false teachers could tell them. No, they need Christ proclaimed to them and clearly. And that is the same for us. We don't need new secret insights or new ways to be a Christian or to apply Christianity to current fads and trends. We don't need more self-fulfillment. We need to learn, but we don't need simply lectures. We don't need to be driven to do more and to have more efforts. We need what was needed for the Colossians. We need that now. The proclamation of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's what is needed for all. That will be what is the need of all for all time until the Lord brings the end of all things. Jesus is our need. What our need is to have Him and to hear Him proclaimed to us. To be reminded again and again that Jesus has lived righteously under the law and perfectly on our behalf. That He was crucified for our sins, shedding His blood for our sins, taking the curses upon Himself. That He was risen from the dead eternally and has ascended to the right hand of God. That in Him we find our justification, we find our forgiveness, we find our life. He is our Savior. He is the mystery made known to the world, and He is the mystery that we need to return to and stay put there with Him constantly. And Colossians is constantly driving away to say, stuff's going to come up, and people are going to want to proclaim things and say things that would say, Jesus is good, but this is something you need to add on to that because you're missing it here, and this will help you. And we can help you understand that it's a mystery that's held and we have cracked the code. The Apostle Paul would say, no, Jesus is the mystery. And you seek and go and follow after Him. He is the one we look for. And then the Apostle Paul prays that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. The message of Christ is to be proclaimed, and it's to be proclaimed in a simple way. It is, as I believe it was R.C. Sproul that said, you bring seminary to Sunday school. Well, if he didn't say that, whoever said it was right. And that is that not true? It's taking these wonderful things and proclaiming it and making it clear. That's how you ought to preach. That's how we should. It's to be made clear to people to understand, no, this is what the Word of God says. This is what we want to understand of it. This is what God would have you to know. And not just how I ought to speak, we ought to speak clearly, but that we ought to say what the Word says so that there would be clarity and conviction. That the preaching of the Word would be that which brings us near to Christ, which will cause us to have to confront our own sins, our own weaknesses, that we have to see that we want clarity. We want conviction. And the best of preaching really and truly is that it's clear and brings conviction. And the Apostle Paul is saying, pray that that's what I do. Pray that my sermons and my proclamation of the word would be that. So the last one, application, how can you pray? What are some things you can pray for? I want to give very specific things that you can pray for. First, pray that the preaching of the Word of God would be used to sanctify the church. How can you pray, and how can it be pray in regards to preaching? That God would use the proclamation of His Word to sanctify His church. That He would use preaching to embolden you and to embolden the congregation, to embolden the church, to take the opportunities that are set before it. That the church would take advantage of its opportunities and be emboldened to say, I want to proclaim and share the gospel with those I know that they need to hear. Next, pray that God would open doors. And pray that He would open doors for the Word. It would be very easy to want to have an open door for the gospel and to talk about side things and to go off on other tracks. And while they can be important and other things can be helpful, we want to pray that God would open doors for the Word. Who are people in your life that you would love and want to see come to know Jesus Christ? Pray that God would open a door. What communities maybe surround your church or what your neighborhood? Pray that God would open a door for the Word. And as the Word goes forth and the doors open, pray that it would be fruitful. That it would take root, that there would be fruit from that open door. In many ways, this is praying for the Scriptures to be fleshed out amongst us. Scriptures like, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Or when Jesus says, if you ask anything in my name, according to my will, I will hear and do it. This is prayers that Jesus hears and wants to answer. Pray next. Pray for non-Christians. Pray for open doors and pray that that God would open up their hearts to give you an opportunity. And pray that we give others an opportunity, that their hearts would be open. Pray that God would call His elect forward. And He would call them out and you would see them respond in faith, that we would see new Christians and new believers coming. Pray that God would bring people here to this church. Why? So that they can hear the proclamation of the gospel. Pray that God would do this. And finally, pray for your pastor. The Apostle Paul is not shy about asking for prayer, is he? So neither does a preacher. We don't need to be shy about asking for prayer. We are, but we don't need to be. Your pastor needs your prayers. He's not perfect. He's a wonderful man, but he's not perfect. He needs your prayers. So pray for him just a couple of ways. Pray that he would grow in humility and godliness, that he would stay humble and stay and be a godly man. Pray that he would love his family. Pray for his wife and his children. Pray that he would be Christ-centered in all of his preaching. That his ministry here would be focused upon the gospel. That it would be to give glory to God. And finally, pray for him that he would preach clearly and boldly. That he would preach clearly and with conviction. That he would stand and say, as I ought to speak, this is the word of God. And that God would use that to sanctify His church and to draw people here and to draw the elect to come and to worship Him so that in all things God would be glorified. Let me pray and I close. Father, we thank You for the Word of God that is given to us. We thank You that we can hear it, we can be convicted by it, and that we can pray. We thank You that we can come to You only because of Jesus. We thank You that He has lived righteously for us, has suffered on the cross for our sins, and that through Him we may call You Father. So we come in His name and ask You, Lord, to help us to continue steadfastly in prayer and to be watchful in prayer. We pray that You would open up doors for the gospel in and around this church. You would open up doors in the neighborhoods of people that live here, in the family members, and the friends, the co-workers, colleagues. That You would give opportunity, that You would begin amongst those connections here to draw Your elect and bring them forward. that you would allow people to come and to hear the Word of God proclaimed, and that through that you would bring your people to yourself, and that in all of this, as we grow in prayer and we see your Word bearing fruit, that it would go to glorify your name, that it would bring us joy because we see you being glorified. We ask all this in and through the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.